I am a white, straight, cisgender woman, and I've grown up in a predominantly white neighborhood, going to white schools and churches, and I've had predominantly white friends and peers. Recently, I've noticed that even when I go on vacation outside of Montana, most of the other vacationers are largely white. Well, this has shaped my view of what normal is. I feel pretty normal, and I have viewed people who look like me as the norm. In this white-centric view of my world, I have viewed race as a problem for others, those with skin color different from mine. Racism for me has always meant acting on intentional prejudice in a way that is mean or cruel to others with a different skin color than mine. Oh, I've heard of implicit bias, and I've taken some of those online tests for this, but it always seemed a confusing concept to me, difficult for me to see in my everyday life. It was in a seminar on heterosexism given by Reverend Lois Van Leer about 10 years ago that I first became aware of how viewing a single identity as the norm for society could impact those outside the norm. And when threaded through the laws, policies, and institutions, this could have real-life negative consequences for people. However, I remained largely ignorant of the way that I might be complicit in racism in our society. I say that I was ignorant with an emphasis on the word ignore, on the part of the word that is ignore in that word ignorance, because I generally consider myself a pretty smart person. I'm well-educated, travel, generally wanting to do the right thing. And I've learned some of the ways that I benefit from white privilege. And here I'd like to give a shout out to Neil Gregerson, who spoke a year ago on this topic. Thank you. Thanks, Neil. But racism is not something that I think of on a daily or weekly basis. And when I do think about it, I'm apt to feel guilty or helpless or defensive, all very uncomfortable feelings. The reading and information that I've gathered in preparation for today's teaching has opened my eyes to the limiting aspect of living within my narrow white frame of reference. Examining white supremacy or white-centeredness in UU culture has helped me examine white supremacy in my own ways of thinking and behavior. I'm finding that out that I can be very well-intentioned and still be steeped in my own frame of reference, with white as the norm. Awareness of this and taking the time to listen and believe the experiences of people of color while leaving my sense of guilt and defensiveness behind me is the beginning of a journey for me. Reverend Karen Armina, a white UU minister in Wisconsin, speaks to this journey. She starts by quoting the Quaker activist and songwriter Carrie Newcomer, who sings these words of encouragement. Come on and look inside you, it's the best place to start. The greatest revolution is a simple change. Reverend Armina says that we think that we have to change all those things that are happening out there, and that change can happen as a direct result of our actions. Sometimes this is true, especially in the arena of social change, where we need to very intentionally build momentum to create more just conditions. But more often, true change happens only when we take the time and the risk of sitting with something hard. True change in the world is intimately related to our internal transformation, which is intimately related to our presence to ourselves. She goes on to say that culture is simply everything that's around us. At some point in our lives, we learn that there are other ways of being. Our human tendency is to think that ours is better than theirs. When we are white, thinking that ours is better than theirs is supported by the fact that our social and political systems are built through the same frame through which we're looking. We learn that our way is the right way and the best way. Simply put, this is white supremacy culture. As Aisha Ansamo's reading at the beginning of the service reminds us, White people tend to be visitors to the struggle for racial justice, ones that aren't forced to be there but can choose to come in and leave whenever they like. People of color reside in the struggle for racial justice by virtue of their race. What would it be to build a Unitarian Universalism where every UU felt called to not just get involved, but to reside in the struggle for the long haul? The UU Teach-In website that we're drawing for resources on today's service for highlights voices of UU Black individuals and other persons of color. The readings for the rest of the service will feature many of these voices. My thanks to Lee McGill, Neil Gregerson, Randy Babcock, Brian Sanchez, Pam Poom, Barbara Tilka, and Joy LeClaire in helping us hear some of these voices.